Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Dr. Wamalika.
Yes, good afternoon. Good evening.
Hi, how are you? How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
No, I'm doing fine as well. Thank you so much. Doc, we're going to be talking about one of the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Christian behavior. And of course, until Friday, we're going to be diving into what makes a person truly Christian beyond just a label. And so those of you who are joining us on the radio, we're talking to Dr. Wamalika and talking about the Christian behavior, which actually isn't about a checklist of rules. No, it's about a radical transformation of the heart. I want to discuss how a relationship with Christ naturally changes our DNA, our attitudes, our daily choices. We're starting at the foundation, though. Why does our behavior even matter if we are saved by grace? Now, Doc, some see Christian behavior as a list of rules. How does our understanding of Christian behavior as a fundamental part of our faith clarify that?
First of all, you need to know that the word behavior is not found in the Bible. And neither is it found in the fundamental belief number 22 of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Ooh.
And the belief is a paragraph of about 203 words, build on about 14 Bible texts, and the word behavior is not there. It is only there in the title. The title is Christian Behavior. And there is a reason why the Bible writers did not want to pick the word behavior, because the word behavior gives a scientific-like meaning, which deals with how one acts or communicates or functions or reacts to the environment. But the idea of behavior is in the Bible, but the word behavior is not used. Now, coming straight to your question, what is the view, the world view of the Christian behavior? Is Christian behavior a list of rules? Our understanding, which is influenced by our scientific worldview, tend to make it appear like if you fulfill some rules, then your behavior will change. It is not so. The Bible talks of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It talks of the internal change that leads to outward change. It talks of a reflection of Christian character. And therefore, when I come to your question, I want to make it clear at the very beginning that Christian behavior, as you would like to describe it, is not a list of rules. Rather, the Bible is the word a fruit, a growth. It is a consequence of what you already are. And therefore, I want to let you know that transformation, the renewing of our mind, is always the basis of our outward character.
Now, the Bible mentions being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is Romans 12:2, as you know. How does this internal, change lead to the outward recreation of God's character in our daily lives?
You see, from the way the Bible puts it, is that the start is always in the mind. What happens outside is always the expression of what is already inside. So if you found that the outside is lacking, then you know that the problem is not in the outside appearance, it is in the mind. That is why the word repentance is the word metanoia in Greek. And it doesn't mean changing a list of behavior. It means change of mind, metanoia, a change of mind. So the Bible says, if the mind is fixed on God, the behavior will come automatically.
Mm.
If there's a problem with the behavior, then you don't start with the behavior. You don't start by introducing rules in the outward behavior. You start by building the mind on Christ. So when you see a moral fall in outward behavior, it's not because people have not kept the rules. It's because in the inward mind, they are empty. They are not fixed on Christ. And therefore, how does internal change lead to outward change? This is part of God's work. The Lord says, he who looks at me and fixes his eyes on me, the actions will come automatically. There will not be a result of working hard to make sure you produce them. They are like a fruit, and no tree ever sweats to bring forth a fruit. You remember Jesus made this clear to the disciples. He said, you are, not you can be, you are the light of the world. And then he says, do good works. It was a command. Not so that God may see, but so that the world may see. So the light that comes out from inside is as a result of what God has already done. And our hearts have said amen, have agreed to it. So the inward is the emphasis of the Bible. The emphasis of the Bible is not the outside, it's the inside.
Mm. It is on the inside indeed. Now, if actions begin in the heart, Matthew 15:19, why do we place such a strong emphasis on visible behaviors like dress, like diet, makeups and all of those things?
Wow, that's a very good question, because that's one of the problems that we have. When people believe that outside behavior is what is the problem, then they have missed from the very beginning. I also want to let you know that it's a wrong emphasis to put on outside like dress and the diet. I'll give you a quotation written by a widow, a Christian widow. I believe she was led by the Holy Spirit, because she has written several books. Her name is Ellen G. White. She says, and I'm quoting, "Do not make dress question the main point of your religion. There is something richer to talk about. Talk about Christ. And when the heart is touched, all things that are out of harmony with Christ will drop off." So from that quotation, he says that emphasis on dress, on the outside dress and the diet, may be good for a short while, but it is not eternal. It is not for lifetime, because people can imitate it. We can please you by dressing the way you want, but it doesn't mean that it's coming from the heart. So let the emphasis be on Christ. And when the heart is changed, is touched rather, all things that are out of harmony with Christ will drop off. And therefore, acts begin in the heart. And the reason why I dress well is not to please my father or my mother. The reason why I dress well is because the Lord who saved me is simple. The reason why I eat well is not to please somebody somewhere, but is so that I may be in good health to be able to minister to Christ. So that everything you do, it is propelled from your relationship with Christ. I hope you're...
Yes, definitely. Beautiful. Now, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in producing the fruit of love, joy, peace in a believer's life?
You know, any Christian behaviors, we may want to do it. The Bible described it as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And please remember, the word fruit is in singular. It is not in plural. That's why when you read Galatians chapter 5, I think starting from verse 22, it talks of the fruit, singular, of the Holy Spirit. Jesus also spoke of bear fruit. The reason why he speaks of fruit is because it is one, but it is multifaceted. It is one, he says, loving, kindness, long-suffering, meekness, and so on. All those things, you cannot have one without the other. You cannot say, gentlemen, I have gentleness, but what I'm lacking is kindness. You cannot do that. You cannot have one without the other. So it's the role of the Holy Spirit is to make us full, completely full, filled with all these things that he mentions. But when it comes to sin, to works, he doesn't call it a fruit. He changes the word from fruit to works, in plural, works. And he mentions adultery, he mentions witchcraft, he mentions idolatry, he mentions backbiting, that which means you can be one without the other. You can be a witch doctor, but you are not a backbiter, but not in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we have the totality. It's like one fruit that has vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, and so on. So you cannot eat one part and say, I ate the part of vitamin A, and now I'm looking for the other part that has vitamin C. They come collectively. So what's the role of the Holy Spirit? The role of the Holy Spirit is to make sure that we are complete, a complete in lacking nothing when it comes to our relationship with our human beings. So that when you meet a widow, you meet a single mother, you meet a child, they can all perceive that you are in totality of the character of Christ. So what's the role of the Holy Spirit? The role of the Holy Spirit is to make sure that these things come out of us, not as a struggle, but as a fruit. Mm. The word fruit means they come spontaneously.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. Man. Now, I'm going to be leaving you shortly. I just want to check with you, Pastor. How does our personal behavior then serve as a silent sermon or witness to the love of Christ to those who may never step inside a church?
Very good. When Christ was talking to his disciples, he said, let your light so shine, or let your good works so shine, not before God, but before men. Then he said, so that men may see and give glory to your Father in heaven. So that means you cannot afford to be careless with the good works. Not so that you may be saved, no, but because you have already been saved.
Ah.
So, yeah, the same thing that Paul wrote in his handover letter to a young worker called Titus. In Titus 3 verse 8, he said, those who have believed should be careful to maintain. Listen to the sentence again, to maintain good works. And then he says in verse 8 of Titus 3, these things are profitable to men. So every time we become careless in Christian living, we are doing two things. Number one, we are denying the world the only platform they would have seen and glorified our Father in heaven. And number two, we are also failing, or what I could say, I want to get a better word,
mm-hmm.
or making mud, or spoiling the name of God our Father. So there is, it's a silent sermon. You may not preach it in church, but what people are seeing you doing, they give glory to the Father. It is a call to holy living. It's a silent sermon. It's a witness for God.
Mm, mm.
Yeah.
Man, Pastor, lastly, and then I'll let you go. How do we balance the call to holy living with the truth of salvation by grace to avoid the traps of legalism on the one hand and moral laxity on the other?
You need to know that in the truth of salvation by grace is a confession that nothing good dwells in us.
Mm.
So if there's any good works that are dwelt in us, they are not a product of our working.
Mm.
They are a product of the one who saved us.
Yeah.
And therefore, we give glory to him, not to us, so that it becomes now him. That is why we have been created or purified for good works. And we should be careful to maintain those good works. Remember the word to maintain those good works. We are created. We are a finished product for good works. It's like your car. When you buy a new car made from China, like Haval, if you buy it, you find a sticker on the window said, inspection complete and certified. So when God does all the work of creation in us, after saving us and everything, he gives us out to the world as a display of his finished work. And therefore, when men see it, they give glory to God. So in the salvation by grace, good works that we do are always an application, are always a call. They are now grow into what you are already.
Mm.
For example, Christian living, we live keeping the commandments, not so that we may become the children of God, but because we are already the children of God.
Yeah. Beautiful. Dr. Omalika, I must thank you so much for coming through and talking to us this afternoon. Blessings to you until tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.